Night Beat.
Hi there. This is Randy Stone. I cover the Night Beat for the Daily. Stories start in many different ways. This one began on the main highway and ended at the foot of a cliff.
Night Beat, starring Hop McGuire as Randy Stone.
I was about 100 miles from New York, proceeding along the main highway in my old jalopy. It was a beautiful day. The sun was high, the sky blue, and the grass green, while the birds twittered in the trees. At least I felt sure they were twittering, but I couldn't hear anything above the noise of my car. The road stretched like a white ribbon for miles. All that was needed to complete the idyllic picture was a beautiful girl. And presto, there she was, standing dejectedly near a snappy sports car parked beside the road. Having trouble?
Yes, I can't get my car started.
Well, let me have a look at it.
Thank you. It's no good. It won't go.
Have you looked under the bonnet?
No, I wouldn't know what to look for.
Well, I'll have a...
Well?
Cars go better with gas.
You mean...
Yeah, you're out of gas.
To think that I've been sitting here for an hour.
Oh, but surely somebody stopped to help you. It's a main highway.
A couple of wolves stopped, but I gave them short shift.
What about me?
Somehow you don't look like a wolf.
Thanks. Maybe I've got water in my veins instead of blood.
What do you mean?
Well, you can hardly blame the wolves. You've got no right to be so, so attractive.
Say, it must be spring.
Yeah, it is. Hadn't somebody told you? I've got a spare can of gas I can let you have.
Thanks. I'll pay for it, of course.
Ah, forget it. It'll go on the expense account anyway.
You're very kind, Mr...
Stone. Randy Stone.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Stone. I'm Sonia Velotti.
I got the gasoline... poured into the tank of the sports car. Sonia thanked me prettily as she stood watching me quizzically, a half smile on her beautiful face.
Well?
Well, you've got enough gas to get you to the next garage.
Yes. Well?
What do you mean by well?
Oh, just well...
I looked at her somewhat at a loss, then turned and went to my car.
Not bad.
Hmm? What do you mean?
Your line is not bad.
I don't get it.
I was wondering how you would make a play for me.
I can assure you I am not making a play for you, Miss Velotti.
Well, there's no need to be so uppity about it. Surely I'm not that hard to look at.
Very much the reverse, but I am not making a play for you.
Then why not start your car?
Well, it won't start.
I'm sure it will if you really try.
It's been running beautifully.
Probably old age has caught up with it.
I climbed out of the car and tried to find out what was wrong, but had no success. Sonia looked at me sympathetically as she said...
I'm sorry if I was rude, Mr. Stone, especially after you've been so helpful, but... Well, I thought it was just a gag.
You're used to men making passes at you?
Yes, men are always on the make.
You must meet the wrong kind of men, or maybe you're too good-looking.
Well, after that, I can hardly refuse you a lift.
I'll be all right.
Oh, don't be silly. I was only ripping you.
Well, perhaps you could drop me at the next garage.
There's no garage for miles. But hop in. I live near here.
That won't be necessary.
I'll send our chauffeur down to fix your car. He's a whiz with engines.
I accepted and managed to climb into the front seat of the sports car. It wasn't long before we were speeding along the highway. The car was small, but it had plenty of power. We hit 70 without any trouble. We turned off about 3 miles along the way and drove down a dirt road for another 8 miles. As a tardy concession to the condition of the new road, the girl broke her speed down to just over 60. Then, hardly slackening her speed, she turned into an iron gateway and drew up with screeching tires before a large house.
This is it.
You, believe in speed?
Why not?
Well, that road wasn't the best.
Surely you weren't afraid, Mr. Stone.
Frankly, yes.
Live dangerously. That's my motto.
You live up to it, too.
Why not? Life is short.
I followed Sonia Velotti into the house. It was expensively furnished and was obviously the home of a man of considerable wealth. As we entered, a middle-aged man came out of a side room into the hallway.
Hi, Father.
Hi, Sonia. Where have you been? I was worried.
I ran out of gas. This is Mr. Stone, Father.
Hi, Mr. Velotti.
How do you do?
Mr. Stone, help me.
I'm indebted to Mr. Stone. I would hate anything to happen to Sonia.
Yeah, sure.
She's so unpredictable that I'm afraid I worry quite a deal.
I understand.
Mr. Stone is staying for lunch, Father.
Oh, of course, yes. You down here on business, Mr. Stone?
No, I'm going back to New York.
I thought you might be after a story.
A story? Oh, then you know who I am.
Of course. Randy Stone, the newspaper columnist.
I didn't realize I was so well known.
I make it my business to know people.
I see. You seem vaguely familiar to me, Mr. Velotti.
Indeed.
Yeah, there's something familiar about you, but I can't place it. No doubt it'll come back to me later.
No doubt.
Mr. Stone's car is broken down. I told him we'd send you it to have a look at it.
Of course.
I enjoyed a nice lunch, but began to get uneasy when the chauffeur hadn't returned by 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
You, it appears, to be having trouble with your car, Mr. Stone.
Yeah, I can't understand it.
Yes, it is getting late. You must stay the night.
Oh, I don't want to impose on you.
Nonsense. We'll be glad to have you.
I should be back in New York by now. I've got a column to bring out tonight.
Now, you can phone it through from here.
I have to find one first.
Perhaps you'll find one here, Mr. Stone.
Well, that's hardly likely in a place like this.
Well, you never can tell, Mr. Velotti. Stories turn up in the most unexpected places.
Oh, I can hear Ewart coming up the drive now.
Well, I hope he's fixed the car.
If the car can be fixed, Ewart is the man to do it.
A few minutes later, a young man, smartly dressed in a chauffeur's uniform, entered the room. He was good-looking, with a hairline mustache and black wavy hair.
Well, Ewart, I'm sorry, sir. The car won't be ready until tomorrow. There's nothing further I can do tonight.
What's wrong with it?
Oh, what does it matter? Don't let Ewart weary us with technical details.
Well, sure, but
Sonia does not understand cars, Mr. Stone.
Well, so what? The car won't go, but Ewart will fix it tomorrow. That's all there is to it. Isn't that logical?
It's also feminine, my dear.
And therefore sensible. I'll arrange a room for Mr. Stone.
There was little I could do but agree to stay the night. After supper, Sonia made her excuses, and Velotti and I retired to the library. My host busied himself pouring port wine, and soon we were both seated in easy chairs, sipping our drinks.
You have had quite an extensive career in the newspaper business, Mr. Stone.
Not bad.
I remember you during the Francino case.
You mean Luigi Francino, the gangster?
Yes, you were the key witness at his trial.
Well, hardly the key witness.
Well, possibly not, but the campaign you had carried on in your column for some months previously was directly responsible for him coming to trial.
I'm glad to hear that. Scum like Francino deserve no sympathy.
You consider he was scum?
Why not? He battened on other people all his life.
Surely he must have had his good points.
You name him.
Well, he was no coward.
No coward? He was yellow. He was afraid to move around except in an armored car and with armed bodyguards.
Maybe he was just cautious. It would be under common sense.
Yeah, I suppose so. But he got his hoods to do all his dirty work.
Well, that's natural enough. After all, he was the brains behind the outfit.
Yeah. But he was a rat without a single redeeming feature.
I understand he was an educated man.
That's what makes it so inexcusable. He didn't have the excuse of environment like some of his hoodlums. And another thing.
Yes?
In my books, anybody who deals in dope is a rat and deserves no sympathy.
Well, you appear to feel strongly on the subject, Mr. Stern.
I do, where dope's concerned.
What happened to Francina?
He was deported. They couldn't prove anything, otherwise he'd have gone to the chair.
He was too clever?
Well, lucky would be a better word. If he has any sense, he'll never try to come back to the States.
Oh, you think the police will get him?
If the cops don't, his mob will.
Yes, I understand from the papers that he's still controlling his former activities from Italy.
As long as he stays there, he's safe.
And if he comes back?
They never come back, Mr. Vallotti. His mob may be paying him lip service while he's abroad, but Malone will never hand over to him.
Malone?
Yeah, he used to be Francino's chief lieutenant.
Oh, and now he's the big shot, I believe that's the term.
Yeah, and he's a plenty tough baby.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Stern. This discussion has been most stimulating.
You seem interested in Francino.
Well, frankly, I am. I met him recently in Italy, and he hardly struck me as the typical American gangster.
Well, he's a smooth rogue.
No doubt.
Vallotti changed the subject. He was a charming host, obviously well-bred, and gave the impression of being a cultured man of the world. The evening passed very pleasantly, and it was nearly midnight when I finally bade him good night. The night was warm and humid. I felt like a smoke before turning in, so I decided on a stroll under the stars. I'd finished the cigarette and was about to go inside when I heard voices and saw two shadowy figures ahead of me. I turned away but stopped when I heard my own name mentioned.
Why did he want Stone to stay the night?
He didn't say.
I don't like it.
Oh, stop worrying, darling. Luigi knows what he's doing.
I hope so. I don't like these unnecessary risks.
You should be worrying about us.
What do you mean?
Well, if Luigi finds out about us, you know what'll happen.
I'm not afraid of him.
Let us be realistic, darling. You know what a temper he has.
What about the parcel? Do you know where it is?
All in good time. I'd better be getting in. We don't want to arouse his suspicions.
Sure, baby. What about a good night kiss?
I decided it was time I left. It was none of my business if Vallotti's daughter was playing around with the chauffeur. I went up to my room and undressed. Before getting to bed, I crossed the room to open the window. There was a full moon, and I stood gazing out into the night for a few seconds. Suddenly, I stiffened. Coming slowly up the driveway was my car with Ewart behind the wheel. Earlier in the afternoon, he'd said that the car wouldn't go, and he wouldn't be touching it again before the next morning. Yet here it was, apparently in order. I strode to the door, determined to find out the reason. I turned the handle, but the door didn't open. I was locked in.
You're listening to Night Beat. Before Randy Stone continues his story, here's your announcer. Randy Stone continues his story.
I rattled the knob and pounded on the door, but nobody answered. There was a phone in the room, but when I tried to use it, I found it was out of order. I sat on the bed and thought things over. Something was screwy. My car was apparently in order. The phone had been disconnected, and I was locked in my room. To top it all, I had a column to bring out and no story. Despite all this, I went to bed and slept soundly. When I woke up the next morning, I found that my door was no longer locked. I went down to breakfast. Vallotti was the only other person present.
Good morning, Mr. Stern. I trust you slept well.
Yes, despite everything.
Despite everything? I don't understand.
My door was locked.
Oh, you must be mistaken. It was probably jammed.
No, it was locked.
Well, I'm sure there must be some simple explanation.
What about the telephone in my room?
And what about it?
It was out of order.
Oh, my dear chap, it's been out of order for some time. I didn't realize you would want to put through a phone call in the middle of the night.
Nobody took any notice of my pounding on the door.
Both my daughter and I are sound sleepers.
I don't want to appear discourteous, Mr. Vallotti, but I have the feeling I'm being given the runaround.
Nonsense.
And how about my car?
What about it?
Why was I told it was out of order and wouldn't be ready until tomorrow?
Frankly, I don't understand.
I saw Ewart bringing it up the driveway last night.
Oh, well, he probably worked on it after supper.
No.
Why are you so sure?
I saw him in the garden with Miss Velotti last night.
You what?
I saw him at... forget it.
I refuse to forget it, as you put it, Mr. Stone. You say you saw my daughter in the garden with my chauffeur?
Well, yes.
What time is this?
Just after midnight. I'll be leaving straight after breakfast now that my car is ready.
This nonsense has gone far enough.
Nonsense?
Yes. You may as well know, Mr. Stern, that you're not leaving.
Not leaving? I don't understand.
It took a great deal of engineering to get you here, and I have no intention of letting you leave.
Engineering? You mean that your daughter didn't run out of gas?
Yes. Your movements have been closely followed for some time. When we found out that you were in this area, we took the opportunity of collecting you.
But what gives? I don't understand.
As you were busy pouring petrol into her tank, Hewitt was busy fixing your car while Sonia was keeping you occupied.
Well, you must be very proud of your daughter.
Daughter? Let us not be so naive, Mr. Stone.
What do you mean?
Sonia is not my daughter.
Then she's your...
No, you catch on very quickly.
Why are you telling me this?
Because there's been a change of plans.
What do you mean?
Well, to be frank, Mr. Stern, it was originally intended that you were to have a car accident. Hewitt has fixed the steering and the brakes of your car so that when you make the sharp turn at the bottom of the hill...
You mean the one about a mile along the road?
Yes. It would have been an unfortunate accident.
And now I've been reprieved?
No. Merely a change of plans. You will die, but much more quickly. Well, come, Mr. Stone, aren't you going to have breakfast?
I'm not hungry.
Well, I can assure you it's better to die on a full stomach.
Just who are you?
You don't know?
No.
Excellent. It proves that my disguise is a success.
Disguise?
Yes, Mr. Stone. Plastic surgery is a fine art these days. You were to be the final test. If I could deceive you, I could deceive anyone. That was one of the reasons why you were not disposed of out of hand last night.
Now I've got it. Your friend Sino. That was why you talked about him so much last night.
You saw through my disguise?
No, though you did look vaguely familiar.
Then what?
I heard Sonia refer to you as Luigi last night.
Where was this?
In the garden.
Oh, the bungling idiot. Why must I always be plagued by fools?
Then your insistence on discussing Francino and the way you defended him. It all added up.
Please go on.
But what really gave you away was the habit you have of playing with the lobe of your left ear while talking. You did it continuously while in the witness box.
I see. Well, I shall have to break myself of that habit. Your gratuitous insults last night will be repaid in full. If I remember rightly, you called me scum and a rat.
The truth always hurts, Francino. But why have you changed your plans about me?
Well, firstly, because I intend to repay those insults of last night.
Secondly,
I have received a message that Malone is coming to see me this morning, and I don't want anyone to find your body at the foot of the cliff until after he's gone.
Why is he coming?
We have a business deal.
In connection with dope, no doubt.
Possibly.
You're taking over the mob again?
Well, I haven't decided yet.
Maybe Malone will decide for you.
You're mistaken. Malone is loyal.
There's no loyalty in the rackets.
We shall see. Oh, here's Sonia.
Good morning, Father.
Mr. Stern is aware that I'm not your father, Sonia.
Oh, he is. He can't be as dumb as he looks.
He also knows who I am.
Oh, he's smart. Too smart for his own good.
Where's Hewitt?
He's just brought Stone's car around to the front.
Stern won't be needing his car now.
I gathered he wouldn't.
What gives, Francina? Doesn't she know about the car?
No, she thinks I just brought you here to test out my disguise. She doesn't know that I swore to get you, that you were mainly responsible for my deportation.
I'm glad.
Hardly a fitting obituary, Mr. Stern.
I think I called you a rat.
That's right.
Well, I apologize. To the rats.
You'll keep. Take this gun, Sonia, and if he moves, let him have it.
Where are you going?
To see Hewitt. I've got something to ask him.
I'll go get him, Luigi.
No, you wait here. And don't think she'll be afraid to use the gun, Stern. You won't be the first.
And he may not be the last.
What do you mean?
She means if you touch Hewitt, you'll be the next, Francino.
Shut up, you.
My, Miss Velotti, your claws are showing.
Watch him, Sonia. He's tricky.
Leave him to me.
Francino left the room and Sonia and I stood facing each other for several minutes.
She seemed nervous and kept glancing anxiously towards the door. After about 10 minutes, she began pacing the room, but the gun never wavered. And then suddenly...
What was that?
I'd say that either your protector or your boyfriend is no longer with us.
Shut up.
Oh, you're jumpy. If it's you, it's you maybe next. Francino doesn't like being double-crossed.
Shut up, I tell you.
Well, here he comes. Who is it? Ewart or Francino?
Well, well, well. Why so anxious?
What was that shot?
Ewart. I found him searching my room.
He's dead?
Of course. Oh, don't look so shocked, Sonia. You've seen dead men before.
But Ewart, our chauffeur...
You mean after last night in the garden? There's no point in denying it, Sonia. I beat it out of Ewart before I killed him.
I was bored. We're miles away from anyone.
Bored me?
I know, but...
Yes?
But I... Oh, it didn't mean a thing. Oh, don't you see, Luigi? I love you.
You love no one but yourself.
There's a car coming up the drive.
That'll be Malone. I'll deal with you later, Sonia.
What about Stone?
He can wait. I don't want any shooting just now. Malone has an itchy trigger finger, and I don't want to make him jumpy.
He seems to be alone.
Good. Good. I told him to come alone, but I didn't think he'd be fool enough to obey.
What does it mean?
It means, Stone, that I'm still the boss, the big shot. They still obey my orders.
We watched through the wide-open windows as a big man climbed out of the car and made his way slowly up the front steps. Francino left the room and returned shortly afterwards with the visitor.
I wouldn't have believed it, boss. Nobody'd ever know you.
Oh, they can do miracles with plastic surgery these days, Tim.
Yeah, sure. You're coming back to New York?
Yes, I think I will. I missed it all in Italy.
Yeah. Say, who are these people?
This is Sonia. You've heard of her?
Yeah, who's the guy?
His name's Randy Stone.
The newspaper guy?
Yes, I have a score to settle with him. You won't trouble us after today.
Well, it suits me. I never could stand reporters. They're too nosy.
Hmm. You have the money?
Yeah, 200 grand. And the dope?
It's in a suitcase in my room. I'll get it.
Don't bother, I'll get it.
What do you mean? What are you doing with that gun?
It means, Francina, that you're all washed up.
Yes, but
if you think I'm going to hand over to you after wearing this thing for over 7 years, you're crazy.
I told you they never come back, Francino.
Well, if that's how it has to be, there's nothing much I can do.
I must say you always have had guts, Luigi.
Surely you didn't expect me to crawl.
No, I know you too well for that.
Drop that rod, Malone.
What?
This is a gat in your back.
Yeah, you win.
Good girl, Sonia. Now it's my turn, Malone.
Yeah, sure. It's your turn now, Luigi.
You killed him.
Why not? Nobody double-crosses me and lives.
Now you can drop your gun.
But...
Drop it, I said.
I thought we were friends. More than friends.
You killed Steve Ewart.
Sure. He was double-crossing me.
I loved him.
Loved him? But you're my girl.
Your girl? Why, you old fool, wake up to yourself. Why do you think a young girl goes along with a man of your age?
But I thought...
You thought. Your time for thinking is over, big shot.
Sonia seemed to have forgotten me as she stood looking down at Velotti's body, a smoking gun in her hand.
You had it coming to you. You killed Steve.
She rushed out of the room and I heard her running down the hallway, and then the front door opened and closed with a bang. I hurried to the window and saw her emerge from the house. For a second she hesitated, then hurried to Malone's car. Apparently there were no keys in the ignition, for she turned and went to my car, which was standing nearby. It started up with a roar and sped towards the gates. Involuntarily, I shouted a warning, but it was too late, and the car roared from sight. Malone and Francino looked small and insignificant lying on the floor. They looked what they were. No longer big shots, but gangsters cut down to size. I called the police. They found my car lying at the foot of the cliff with Sonia still behind the wheel. She was dead. Apparently, Ewart had done a good job with the steering and the brakes. Those that live by violence die by violence.
Copy, boy.
The Dramatic Series stars Hart McGuire as Randy Stone and is a Grace Gibson radio production directed by Lawrence H. Cecil. The script was written by E.J. Hook. The part of Sonia Velotti was played by Lynn Murphy. Others in the cast were Guy Dolman, Stuart Finch, and Roger Clemson. Listen next week, same time, same station, when again you will hear Randy Stone in another action-packed story of Night Beat.